The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to part two of Denver's only live and local lineup, the only one I know, where we take you up to noon in Bird Talk. Jimmy kicks it off at 6 a.m., and we bookend it on the backside with the one and only Dr. Matt Dunn and the historical Backbone Radio. Thank you very much, John Andrews. 9 o'clock, and I hate to make this announcement at the start of the show. You know how much I love 710 KNUS, but I came in and my radio station, I thought, had let me down. And as I was driving in, I just didn't know, you know, how I was going to deal with it here live on the air this morning. It was brought to my attention, I don't know, probably about 7:45, that there was no coffee in the studio. No coffee in the studio. Leroy, do you affirm that that was your report? He does.
That was my report.
And I'm here to tell you, I did a little digging, and the coffee is brewing, my brother. That's why I just sat down.
Oh, I love it here. I love it, Randy.
So, once again, 710 KNUS comes through. So much to talk about. Let's get some of the mundane. Well, it's not mundane. It's so very important. Let's get some of the mundane out of the way. Obviously, Tina Peters is on everybody's mind. And I now represent her in the criminal charges that have been brought against her. So I've got probably a different perspective than some others. But before we jump into that, everyone is buzzing in the, you know, in the activist realm about this open primary, closed primary issue. And it's moving very, very quickly. We filed a lawsuit a couple of weeks ago against Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, declaring that the open primary brought forth by Proposition 108 that I know a vast majority of you voted against is simply unconstitutional. The state has no constitutional right to interfere with a private organization like the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, the Libertarian Party, in how they choose their leadership and how they pick their candidates. And our lawsuit contained precedent from a California case, Democratic Party versus Jones, that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court agreed with the Democrats. By the way, that lawsuit was joined by the Republican Party as well. It truly was a uniparty lawsuit, and that declared what we think is pretty obvious based on a person and an organization's constitutional rights to choose who to associate with and how to conduct their business within the law. And so we also asked when we filed that lawsuit for an expedited, that means quick, no matter whether you can say the word or not, an expedited briefing schedule so that we would have an opportunity, if the court was willing, to have a hearing on our motion for a preliminary injunction. We're asking the federal district court to stop the implementation, the utilization of the open primary in Colorado for this election. And because deadlines are coming up for candidates and they've got to figure, you know, how they're going to focus their resources. Are they going after independents and frustrated, angry Democrats? Or can they focus on Republicans to choose the Republican leadership? That decision and others like it need to be made very, very quickly. So the court... The state argued it's not our fault that they're in a hurry. They could have brought this lawsuit a long time ago. And there's some truth to that, but there's a lot of reasons why it didn't happen sooner. And in fact, while we were preparing our reply to explain to the court why we think the expedited briefing schedule should still go forward, even though this lawsuit technically could have been brought sooner, the judge went ahead and issued an order and said, you know, Jenna Griswold, I agree with you that the plaintiffs, that's us, Parable and Casper Stockham and others, Laurel Eimer, some Republican Party chairs. Those folks are right that this needs to be resolved immediately. If they're correct and this is a constitutional violation, then the court needs to make that determination on a preliminary basis quickly. So in spite of, you know, sort of blaming us and making that note in the court order, the court ordered that the state respond to our motion for preliminary injunction on Monday. So yesterday I'm sitting in my office and I get a call from none other than Governor Jared Polis's representative in the AG's office. And they said, hey, we want to weigh in here too. Any objection to us filing a brief in support of Proposition 108. And of course, you know, we all know my love for Jared Polis and my desire to have even more things to respond to legally. But I couldn't think of a legal reason to stop them from weighing in. And so the only, you know, the only deal that I asked for is, look, as long as the state, who's the only other defendant, the Secretary of State and her representatives, the governor's not a party to this lawsuit. So they're coming in as sort of a friend of the court to lend their wisdom. So my only caveat was, look, you know, if you want to file something, that's fine, as long as the actual other party, the Secretary of State's office, doesn't object to us responding as well, responding to your piece. Because these courts, the federal courts, make very specific limits on pages and timing and everything else. So I should know by Monday whether the Secretary of State agrees that if the governor weighs in, we get to respond and we get a couple of extra days to do it. That's all that I ask for. And then the day after the response from the state, that'll be Tuesday, both sides have to submit a witness list. And the witness list is so that the court, in a status conference at the end of the week, can decide just how long of a hearing is required. So what that signals to me, and of course things can change and change very quickly, what that signals to me is that the court intends to set a hearing on our motion for preliminary injunction on a very short calendar after we get to the end of this week, and he just needs to figure out how much time he needs to set aside for this particular hearing. So it's going to be very exciting to follow. And I just have to tell you, I haven't heard from anybody except, you know, sort of the old guard establishment, the longtime consultant, the folks who, you know, hobnob with the donor class. And listen, donors are important. But, you know, there are certain groups of people that have led us down the primrose path to Republican election defeat for decades now. And those seem to be the only ones that I'm hearing from that say this is a bad idea. For the actual Republican Party itself, the members of whom voted unanimously, there might have been one dissenter, unanimously to instruct the party leadership to bring forward this lawsuit last September, all agree that open primaries are a bad thing. They're unconstitutional, and they make it possible for a majority of independents or Democrats to vote in the Republican primary to pick the leadership, the candidate for the Republicans. And, you know, and the Democrats are good at this. And remember, I won't belabor this much any longer. I wanted to just give you the update on where that's at. But exhibit number one to our complaint, to our request for relief from the federal district court, is a letter to the editor from a Democrat into the Aspen Times calling on independents and Democrats to vote in, not to register as Republicans, but to vote in the Republican primary for the opponent, the Republican primary opponent to Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. So if you are a Republican that thinks that it's a good idea, set aside the constitutionality. That seems pretty clear to me. The U.S. Supreme Court has already weighed in on it. But as a policy matter, if you think it is a good idea for non-Republicans, and especially the crazies that are running the Democrat Party these days, to be able to come over and vote on our candidates for the general election, and specifically targeting someone like Lauren Boebert, then I can see why you would object to what we're doing. But if you understand that Republicans should be choosing Republican candidates, and then we live and die. Did we get a fighter? Did we get someone who will, you know, stand on what they said? do what they promised. Use principle. And, you know, make the first question they ask when a piece of legislation comes across their desk, is this the proper role of government? That should be the starting point every single time. Republicans should get to choose their own candidates. Democrats should get to choose their own candidates. And for people who say, oh, my God, you're going to just limit the poll. People are not going to want to vote for Republicans because they didn't get to participate in the primary. First of all, primary participation is a fraction of the people who participate in the general election. But number two, we're not saying that every person in Colorado can't vote in the Republican Party. If we are successful in our preliminary injunction, the only thing that will need to happen for someone who has not been a registered Republican to vote in the Republican Party primary is for them within a certain amount of time to actually register as a Republican. So they're going to have to make that declaration. And, you know, there are some people that just won't do that. They don't want the stain of registration as a Republican to stain their history. That, you know, it's a public record, your membership in different political parties. But it really isn't cutting down on the ability to participate. It just says if you want to vote in our primary, you need to register and be a member of our party. And I understand that the very next day they could deregister and go back to their independence or go back to their Democrat dilemma or whatever. So it's not the Republican Party suing itself, as we've heard. I don't even know where that conclusion draws from. And it's not cutting down on people's ability to vote in a Republican primary. It just means you've got to declare yourself as a Republican within a certain period of time in order to do it. Is it really that complicated? Sometimes you have to start standing up on principle. Sometimes you have to start pushing back and challenge things. Even if the only reason you do, I think there's many practical reasons. The letter to the editor to Lauren Boebert, what Liz Cheney is doing in Wyoming, because Republicans in Wyoming are just in a vast, vastly large percentage against Liz Cheney. So on a policy standpoint, I think it's the right thing. But whether you agree with the policy or not, an unconstitutional law needs to be stopped by the party of law and order, which brings us to a couple of interesting things that we'll talk about. And I know we've got phone calls. We'll try and get to one or two here before we get to the first break. 303-696-1971, 696-1971. Obviously, one of the fallout arguments that's been going on here on 710 KNUS, and if you spend any time at all watching mainstream news or checking in on other programs, the chair of the Colorado State GOP, Christy Burton Brown, after the indictment of Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, now my client, full disclosure, came out and using the platform of the chairmanship of the Colorado GOP said that Tina Peters should suspend her campaign while these charges are pending. And so the dispute or the question that arises is that people like me, a Republican National Committee man with a voting position on the executive committee for the Colorado GOP as a result of that title and that position, and Christy Burton Brown and other officers, county chairs, and, you know, on up and down the line, take a pledge, or at least that we don't take a pledge, but we're bound, if we take the role, we're bound to remain neutral in Republican primaries. Now, if there's only one Republican and a Democrat, we can come out and obviously challenge that opponent. But if there's a Republican primary, more than one Republican facing off with another, then we are required by the bylaws to remain neutral. And so I got to tell you, when Christy Burton Brown came out with that statement, I was a little shocked. I had to think about it a little bit, and the email started pouring in, and I have not received one email on my RBC FOR Colorado. That's my RNC committee man email, RBC FOR Colorado. I have not received one email supporting what she did. Everybody who's written in, and I'm talking about people who are have voting positions in the Republican Party, have written in and said, what's going on? That is not staying neutral. And in fact, I think the party itself may have realized that that was a bit problematic, the statement that Christy Burton Brown made, because Joe Jackson, the executive director, came out subsequently. There was an addendum to that press release that said the Republican Party is required to remain neutral in primaries. And so we will make the same resources available to Clerk Peters that we make available to every other Republican candidate, and this will be our last word on it. So are you troubled by, do you support the statement of Christy Burton Brown, 303-696-1971? Of course, there's going to be a whole lot to talk about regarding the Tina Peters case and the election investigation and all of the shocking things that I just personally observed over the last few days when I became involved with Tina Peters. You know, I'd never met Tina Peters before. She and Sharona Bishop, who I do know well, I got to know several years ago when she and Lauren Boebert were close, and Lauren wasn't, you know, there was no talk about running for Congress. They were just people getting very actively involved in promoting liberty and conservatism and the principles that are supposed to fuel our Republican candidates and our Republican decisions. And so I've known her for a little while, but she and Tina Peters just coincidentally were in town on Tuesday for our Tea Party meeting. And when I found out that was going to be happening, of course, I invited them and I sent out a blast email, and we were pretty well already sold out for the Tea Party, but it was, you know, it was, again, people were sitting on the tables and standing around the walls because we had a full evening with Sharona Bishop and Tina Peters, and it was eye-opening. For a lot of people, eye-opening for me. I'd only read about, heard about, had a couple of phone conversations with, but I'd never met or listened to her speak or anything else. And the one thing that people kept coming up, and some very notable people that came to the Tea Party meeting, I'm not going to name anybody, but people who came up and said, you know, all I heard was that this woman was crazy. You know, she's out breaking the law, and she's making up stuff about voting machines, and she's crazy. And to a person, people came up to me and said, wow, very, very impressive. So that was very interesting. And of course, you know, at the end of that meeting, nobody knew that the very next day there would be this 10-count indictment. It's a 13-count indictment, but 10 of those charges apply to Tina, and three others apply to her deputy clerk. And man, did that kick off a whirlwind of activity. And I wound up getting involved, and I had been looking at representing her in this contempt citation where she's charged with recording a court process prior to that. So I went ahead, and I think we've already formally entered in that case as well. But it's just very, very interesting, the difference in perception when you hear about somebody or you hear people talk about somebody. And you start to form your own conclusions, or you read what the press says about somebody, and then you actually get to see them and hear them yourself. And, you know, obviously it's a different situation. It's a different perception. It's a different understanding. And to a person. And, you know, people always make stuff up about the Tea Party, right-wing crazies and everything else. There are moderate Republicans, non-Republicans, hard conservative Republican or non-Republican party affiliation really doesn't matter. We get the gamut. Not enough young people trying to think that through. But to a T, people who came up and said, wow, that is not what I expected. And it was really quite a fascinating evening. So one more thing I want to tell you about. I think I'll do it on the other side so we can get to some of these phone calls before we get to our very first break here. Let's start with Marcus in Aurora, who's been waiting the longest. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning. Randy, I disagree with you.
All right.
And I always looked at the Republican Party in Colorado.
Yeah.
And I was associated with them, and I left them. I became an independent. And there's a lot of reasons behind that. Because every time they run something, something's weird. If you look at the Republican Party in Colorado, they walked out on Donald Trump.
Not true.
That is true.
Not true.
They
I
really
was there.
Did.
No, we didn't.
That's true. You
okay, Marcus,
better look at it.
Marcus, I was on the floor. I was there.
Okay. How come they walked out?
Let me tell you what happened. It was Reince Priebus who was up on the stage. And not only our contingent, but other contingents of delegates were calling for to be called on, to be actually participate in the process, looking for things like roll call votes. We were being ignored by Reince Priebus. Donald Trump was nowhere near the stage. And the CNN cameras were, because, you know, Colorado had this, was really all Ted Cruz delegates and was also at the forefront of trying to make it so that delegates actually mattered at the convention. So CNN, and we were also placed at the back of the room because we were a disfavored contingent at that particular convention. So we were right back there by CNN. They had their cameras on us. And so everybody's was trying to plan a strategy to try and stop what's going on with Reince Priebus. And because we had cameras on us, they decided to get up and go out of the room and do their strategy and then come back. That's all that happened. And Donald Trump was nowhere near the stage. It wasn't one of the dramatic moments when he walked in and the lights shined on him and then he, you know, went over and sat down. And he was nowhere near the stage. This was Reince Priebus ignoring the role of delegates in a convention and us trying to figure out what to do about it. And I personally, here's the other thing that was going on there, made me really mad at the time. The Donald Trump people, if you let go of your microphone, they'd put somebody in front of it and you wouldn't get it back. And they literally had people going around and grabbing microphones. So I stayed on the microphone while everybody went out to do their strategy talk. I was right there. So when people tell you that lie that we walked out on Donald Trump, it's just an exaggeration or a misrepresentation of the correlation of facts because Donald Trump was nowhere in sight.
Well, I believe you. You were there.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm just saying what I heard and what I saw. And it brought
right.
a bad but feeling to Colorado.
Such a great point that you just made, though. What you saw and then what you heard that was inaccurate made you believe that what you saw was what you heard. And it wasn't, you know?
And that's true.
Yes, sir. So
you were there. So I can't take that from you.
And let me also tell you that, you know, Ted Harvey had the first Trump hat on when Trump won the nomination. Britta Horn also. We clapped for our nominee. And I had a providential meeting on my way out of Cleveland that helped change my attitude and my outlook on the possibilities of a Donald Trump presidency. So very, very interesting sequence of events. We're getting close to the break. Was there one other,
yeah.
Well, past the break, really, one other quick point you wanted to make?
No,
okay.
I'm glad that you talked to me and
grateful for you calling.
Something.
Grateful for you calling in, and so we could really express what really happened, because I know this gets said.
Yeah,
all
that,
the time.
That's why I always wondered about
yeah.
this.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, resigning or stepping away from the Republican Party, I hope when it comes time to vote in primaries and when it comes time to vote in the general election, you still vote your tail off because we've got to stop.
I'm a conservative independent, and I always
great.
Support the other side.
Fantastic. Thank you, Marcus.
Bye.
God bless. All right. Other callers, 303-696-1971. Marcus's line is open, but we're way late on the break, so we're going to pause right here at 923. Whew, first segment out of the way. Wake up with Randy Corporan. I'm going to go get some of that hot, fresh coffee. Stay with us, 710 KNUS. People texting me asking about Peter Boyles, and I can report that I don't have anything to report. I don't have contact anymore. With Pete, but what I understand is that he was taken out of the studio or left here and checked out by a doctor back on Monday. So back on Monday, he can share his story as he wishes. And boy, we never wish any harm to come to folks, you know, folks that we care about, right? Even if you're in the midst of, I guess, apparently major unspeakable, can't talk about it, disagreements. But Pete should be back on Monday. That is good news. It may literally be the only remaining Denver radio legend who's still on the air. If anybody can think of one, I'd be interested to hear who that is. But it's 9:29. We've got full lines. And, man, there's just so much to do. You may remember I was at CPAC 2 weeks ago. I fell in love with these two gorgeous young ladies, but not just because they were, you know, model caliber looks. They were sitting next to me doing a radio interview with a pastor on a religious station, and what they were talking about was very, very impressive. And when I got to talk to them and then talk to the pastor and then talk to one of their mothers, I realized that, you know, these different brilliant ideas of what people are trying to do to help change the culture. We know culture always precedes politics. Look around right now. That it was worth sharing that with you. And last week we had one of those special ladies on. Well, 11 o'clock today we will be joined by the former Miss Florida. And her name is Michaela McLean. And I think she'll be a real treat for you. Also, I think in the 11 o'clock hour, Joy Overbeck is coming on the show. I mentioned we had the Arapaho Tea Party, standing room only, again, unexpectedly added at the just really the day before we sent out an email. We found out that Tina Peters and Sharona Bishop were going to be in town in Denver. And so they were willing to come by. They stayed for the whole meeting. And it was fascinating. And I know, you know, we're spending all this time on talking about the trials and travails of Tina Peters, and we're going to get back into that. A lot of folks on the line want to talk. But there were some really interesting and to me sort of concerning information that came up about the other Republican in the Secretary of State race, Pamela Anderson. And so, as you know, Joy, if you know Joy Overbeck, she writes for townhall.com and other publications, a very excellent writer, a strong activist. And she did a piece that posted in townhall.com. It's called Cage Match in Colorado, Never Trump Rhino, Soros Dem, and Besieged Gold Star Mom. And so it looks like Joy Overbeck will be joining us probably sometime in the 11 o'clock hour to get, I guess, the other side of that story. It was shared with us at the Tea Party. Joy was there. So I thought we'd invite her on as well. And before we get to the phones, gosh, I've got so many things on my list. Let me just tell you this. I heard Jimmy, and when I got in here, I came running in here, just barely made it again. Was freaked out because of this no coffee situation, but I found some. And but I heard Jimmy saying one of the issues that he was struggling through. And I don't mean struggling, but you know, talking out loud as we often do on talk radio. Do the ends justify the means? And that is a savvy point. I really have been thinking this week that may be part of the argument that voters are going to need to decide. Could even become an issue in a criminal trial with Tina Peters. Because, you know, how far can a whistleblower go? If illegal actions were about to be taken by the Secretary of State, do the ends justify the means? Fascinating conversation. And I just want to tell everybody, this includes Christy Burton Brown and all of the folks who are writing in, texting in, 710-KNUS, text the studio app on fire. Tina Peters is running. She is not getting out of this race. And when I first saw the video of her arrest and her foot kicking up toward a cop, I may have said it right here on the show. I certainly said it publicly and unabashedly to people who supported Tina or whatever. That to me, that was a campaign killer. And then Tuesday, when she came to the Arapaho Tea Party meeting, I saw the picture of the damage that was done to her wrist by the way they clamped down the handcuffs on this Gold Star mom while they're executing a search warrant on her iPad. She had a picture, and she was in agony while they were moving her around. And maybe permanent damage. Hell, there may be a lawsuit there. I've seen videos of other people who have the protections of certain police officers and will remain unnamed, at least for today, who are very gently handcuffed and encouraged to, you know, just tell us what happened so we don't have to charge you with the felony of false reporting, you know. Talk to me online if you want to know more. Offline, I mean, if you want to know more about that story. It's a great video, by the way. Fascinating. But back to Tina Peters. Do the ends justify the means? Let's see. Johnny in Denver is next in line. Johnny, welcome back to the show. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm glad you cleared that up about the walking out, because, I mean, we were fed so much false stuff that it's hard to see the clear stuff.
Sure.
So I'm glad you cleared that up.
Well, and, you know, it's just important if people are going to, especially people with platforms, are going to make statements that if there is nuance to something, that you explain it a little bit. Or if you saw it one way and somebody who was actually there participating saw it another way, maybe talk to them about what happened. Yeah. You know, it's not that hard. Yeah. But go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, and I listen to a variety of conservative talk shows because I need to know stuff. And I heard that Zuckerberg had put money into these foundations, into these nonprofit foundations that lean left. Then that this Pam Anderson is on the board of one of these nonprofits. And I'm kind of figuring, like, okay, are we trying to do this? Like, well, we can get their money, but we can do what the Democrats do, say one thing and then go in and do the opposite thing. I just don't know the game plan of why are you taking money from a left-wing nonprofit funded by Zuckerman.
Well, God must be moving in this show today, because I mentioned before the break, Johnny, and I didn't know what you were going to talk about, but I mentioned before the break that the Joy Overbeck would be joining us hopefully in the 11 o'clock hour to talk about her townhall.com piece, Cage Match in Colorado, Never Trump Rhinos, Soros Dem, and Besieged Gold Star Mom. And one of the things that she points out in that paragraph, and I went and looked, and so I know that this is true, is that Pam Anderson is, before and during the 2020 election, was secretary and director of this place called the Center for Technology and Civic Life, CTCL. Mm. And that's what you're talking about, where Zuckerbucks poured in $350 million utilizing CTCL, utilized some of that $350 million. And the reason this all came together for me when Joy showed up at the Tea Party and talked about it, I kept thinking, CTCL, CTCL, where have I heard that before? And it is featured very prominently in the Wisconsin election report by the now retired Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, who has come out and called for the decertification of the 2020 election electoral college votes in Wisconsin. And and this is I've heard this man now. I was on a phone call with him for an hour and 20 plus minutes a week ago Friday, where he was laying out his case. There's an incredible report that's easy to find. And this CTCL comes up there. It seems to me like it's a left-wing group. And so, you know, if Pam Anderson's associated with that, I just haven't heard anybody ask her about it. And I think, so I want to get that side of the story out, since we're hearing so much, you know, Pam the Savior and Tina the Devil stuff.
Yeah, and maybe she can come on the show and explain why is she taking left-wing money, and if it's a big... like, we're going to bait and switch. Maybe she could say there's a bigger plan. And then why doesn't Priscilla and the other lady, why don't they know about this organization and how she's getting this funding? It just seemed like when I heard that there are these rhino Republicans that get funded by the left wing to water down our party, I just think, is this just another one of those things where they're trying to get this other lady out, get this one in, and then... business as usual.
Well, let me tell you this, since I can just say unequivocally that Tina Peters is not getting out of this race. So I think these issues are going to be fleshed out, and Republicans, especially those who've jumped to early conclusions, are going to have to make some, you know, very tough decisions, because it would not surprise me one bit if Tina Peters gets at least 30% of the vote at the state assembly and is running on the ballot opposing Pam Anderson. And if that's the case, you're going to see plenty of, you know, I'm sure TV ads and everything else. But Tina Peters is not going to be quiet on these issues either. So, you know, people just need to keep their eyes open and ears open, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to vote for her, because now that I know that she's hooked up with left-wing money, and I've been put in jail, Facebook jail, all that kind of crazy stuff was just speaking my mind.
Yeah.
And I don't like that in my personal life, and I don't like that in public life. And it's not what I consider to be the American way. And like the WHO said, we won't get fooled again.
That's great, Johnny. Hey, thanks for listening. Right. Be here at 11 o'clock or during the 11 o'clock hour. Hopefully we'll get Joy Overbeck on to talk more about this because I'm just beginning to understand it now. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
All right. Johnny's line is open. Took more time with that call than I expected. So Evan and Ann, sit tight. We'll get to you directly on the other side. 303-696-1971 if you want to grab Johnny's open line. Don't want to get to this break without reminding you about all of the cool things that my friends at Cenogenics can help you with. Feeling better, sleeping better, kushnogging better, just anything and everything that is related to your health can be brought to you in a way that you can understand and that you can implement into your own life. And I think, I guess it hasn't been confirmed for me, but I think we're going to have Dr. Tim Watt back here in studio on Wake Up with Randy Corporan here in a week or two. Looking forward to that. Hope it works out. But weight gain, the inability to lose weight despite a lot of exercise, being tired all the time, diminished libido, they're all real struggles for folks like me who are aging. But my friends at Cenogenics, Dr. Julie McCallum, Dr. Tim Watt, can help you get your metabolism and hormones balanced and healthy. It really, really works. You know, I never saw myself as a pill and a capsule gobbler, but I actually spend time now every Sunday putting together my packets, my morning and afternoon and evening packets for the week, so I don't have to dink around with it. I don't like doing it. I don't have to dink around with it. During the week, I just grab a packet and eat it for this meal and that meal, and I'm good to go. A detailed nutrition and exercise plan that helps you lose weight, gain lean muscle mass, and increase your mental clarity. Their program is designed specifically for you, and it'll help you focus, become stronger, feel in control of your life again. More importantly, your connection with Dr. Julie and Dr. Watt will be something you will treasure for the rest of your life. I'm just so grateful that we've been able to become personal friends as well. Laboratory and physical testing constantly to see how you're doing, to adjust things as you go. It's tremendous. It's time to enjoy your life again. Call Cenogenics today, 720-387-3681. One more time, 720-387-3681. Or the easiest thing to do, it's denver.cenogenics.com, denver.cenogenics.com. Ain't that what it's all about right now? Isn't that what the whole Tina Peters saga is unfolding to be? If she broke the law, did she do it for the right reasons? How far can you go to prevent a greater crime? Will any of this be provable in a court of law, either against her, the allegations that are made? I haven't seen the affidavits, the transcripts of the witness testimony yet. I will now that I'm her attorney, but and you know, not the kind of thing you can talk about. But we'll get a chance to see what people actually said as compared to what's in the indictment. That will be fascinating. And then the flip side: will Tina Peters be able to prove that she was right in believing that if she didn't get and there's no question she had a forensic copy of the Dominion voting machine taken before the so-called trusted build and after the so-called trusted build. What does that mean? Well, there are two reports out already. I hear people make conclusory remarks. They don't prove anything. Now that I'm on the inside of the Tina Peters situation as an attorney, I'm aware of a third report that's coming out very, very soon that I'm told I haven't looked at it yet. I actually have a draft of it in my hands, but I am told that it will connect the dots on actually changing votes. We shall see. I'm not saying whether that's true or not. I'm saying we shall see. But the two reports that are up, by the way, you can look at these yourself. Nobody will tell you to go, well, look at the evidence. Look at what they have put together based on what they have so far and draw your own conclusions. But you can actually get those reports for yourself. TinaPetersForColorado.com. TinaPetersForColorado.com. This is not a campaign endorsement. This is where you can go get the reports. There's a subsection, reports. When the third report is released, it'll be up there too. the one that I'm told, and again, I hope to read it this week. I have a trial next week, so I just got plenty on my plate. But I hope to read it over the weekend, and then maybe report back to you more about that next week. And people say, oh, no, you can't trust those. Those are BS. Well, the two that are out are now evidence that will be presented in a civil litigation brought by Tina Peters' civil attorney, former Secretary of State, Republican Scott Gessler, against Jenna Griswold, the Secretary of State, for stopping her from performing her duties. These two reports are included in, referenced in that complaint. I saw the complaint before it was filed. I saw some before and the after editions. Those reports are right there. So those reports are going to be able to be tested. The third report, when it's out, I assume will be added to the civil. I speak to Scott, but we haven't talked about his civil strategy over there. But I have to assume that that third report will be part of the lawsuit as well, because it goes back to what I heard Jimmy very brilliantly say. One of the issues is, do the ends justify the means? This is going to be an interesting election season. Tina Peters for Colorado.com if you want to take a look at these reports yourself. Tina brought them in to the Arapaho Tea Party meeting when she and Sharona were in town. You know, I don't even know why they were in town, frankly. But when I found out they were, I invited them to the tea party. They came. People were grateful. We were already virtually sold out. By the time Tuesday night rolled around, we were standing room only. Terrific. I think Tea Partiers next month's meeting will be back at South Metro Fire Rescue, even though the mask mandates and the forced vaccination nonsense is coming to an end as we head into the political season. They would not release the facility to us this last Tuesday, but I think they're going to let us in this next month in April. So that'll be good news. All right. I promised calls, and we've still got time for everybody. Ann in Loveland, you're next in line. Good morning.
I'm fine. Thank you. I wanted to respond to your question you had asked us, and that has to do with whether other people should be allowed to come in and vote on the primary. I want to just say really quickly up front, absolutely not. I agree with you totally, and I especially feel that way after the last election. I feel there's just so much people using and misleading others, you know, like this Anderson person that Christy Burton Brown was thinking could come in and run in Tina's place, which what I like a lot of other people trying to get a lot of good information. And the judge, as he went over, he's had a lot of interviews, you know, with what happened over in Wisconsin. And he specifically stated at that time that this Michael Spitzer Rubenstein came in and took the $330 million and that Zuckerberg gave him and met with the five mayors and so on and so forth. And when it came to sending out the money to go out and make sure that, quote, the right person got in, which wasn't, of course, Trump. And one of the people that he mentioned was this lady that this other gentleman with Anderson. And she was and took part in going through and using this illicit money that was channeled through nonprofits, you know, and now they want to bring her in here when she has that kind of history and have her run in Tina's place. I mean, that just blows my mind. And just, you know, putting that all together. And then, of course, it was interesting when they were interviewing that they also mentioned the, you know, that the attorney general over in the county was also named Rubenstein. So I thought, well, that's interesting. This guy in Wisconsin had that last name. This guy has the same last name.
Huh. You're talking about the district attorney, Dan Rubenstein, who's prosecuting Tina. And I don't know about a Rubenstein connection in Wisconsin, but everybody should go find.
Well, no, that was just something that the judge mentioned. Yep. He was the one who used his name.
And I just want people to know that you're talking about retired former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, who is the special counsel doing the investigation on the election fraud in Wisconsin. Yeah. It's easy to find his report. People should go
Absolutely.
And read it.
Absolutely.
And when I was on the phone with Gableman, he said 70 million of the over 300 million Zuckerbucks that came in were used. And they came in as so-called grants, but there was no way to apply apply for the grants, no qualifications for the grants. They doled them out in the places where they thought they could do the most good, according to retired Supreme Court Justice in Wisconsin, Michael Gableman. Fascinating stuff. And it's all going to start – it's going to all be pouring out, Ann, as we head into this election season. People just need to hang on to their hats. Thank you for waiting and for answering the question clearly.
Thank you. I'm glad you're in there pitching and trying to get all the truth out.
Better believe it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right. And I got to say, that's all I'm hearing on RBC4Colorado at Gmail, my committee man. They're upset with Christy Burton Brown for making this statement, this unprecedented statement. And, you know, when all of us as elected officials in the Republican Party are required to remain neutral in primaries. So, you know, it's one thing for her to come out and say, you know, Tina Peters is indicted. That's reporting the news. I try to keep that line from getting blended here when I'm on the radio because I don't want to pump one candidate over the other, but sharing information that's in the record or sharing information that's not being told about a particular candidate or whatever in most venues, I just think it's important that you know it all. And Pam Anderson is welcome to come on this show. I would love to have her come in. I do not say no to anybody who calls. Now, there's time scheduling, you know, or a small race. If it's not interesting to more than a tiny group of people, you know, I might say no, but certainly in all of these statewide races, the congressional races, the Senate campaign, anybody's welcome on this show. And I think you should draw some conclusions by who comes on and asks tough questions and who doesn't. When Eric Odland was on last week, I grilled him about – I didn't grill him. It was respectful. I admire this man. But I asked him specifically about petitioning on instead of going through the process and letting Republican voters decide – who their primary candidate is in CD7. And we didn't talk ahead of time about the interview. And he answered the questions. And then, of course, we talked about his campaign and what he stands for. That's how it would go for anyone who would come in here. If there's a dispute or a curious question that people are interested in, I'll ask it. But I'll also give you time to talk about why you're the right man or woman for the job and give out your campaign site information and everything else. So anyway, 9:57, we're near the top. Sorry to the callers on hold, but we're wide open next hour as well. We'll continue with your phone calls. The number here is 303-696-1971. When you can find an open line, grab it. 49 degrees in hell, 46 degrees in Aurora, which is really becoming mini hell. I mean, the deaths are just coming day after day. The shootings in Aurora out of control. And please do not blame Mayor Mike Kaufman for this. Do not blame the newly elected city council for this. Do not blame the Aurora Police Department for this. Blame the policies that have been in place for the last 2 years by the Aurora City Council and the Aurora City Manager, who have the real power in the city of Aurora. Thank God we're on the path to trying to turn that around. Way late on the break. My apologies. Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.